with Steve Beck.
A very good Monday, race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, 964 on Sirius XM Online, and at our website, stevepick.com. That 2 minutes that I don't know if we can recover those 2 minutes. I think they're gone to history. Not sure what happened. How about not sure what happened at Monmouth on Saturday? That was crazy. Uriah St. Louis does it again. Amazing. Unbelievable. The upset in the Salvatore Mile really kind of set the whole afternoon off in a crazy direction, and wasn't the only price. And nobody hit the cross country pick five. I tweeted, I thought that there was a carryover provision, but there isn't. They paid the four out of five instead. It's a mandatory every week, which I didn't realize. I thought we just hadn't had a carryover. So 1400 and change. If you were able to get the, informative, not imperative, informative on your cross-country ticket, and Uriah St. Louis has done this before. And if you listened afterward, if you listened to Jose Ferrar, I thought he had a lot of insight. And you know, some people have made the point, and we'll talk about Mandaloon's win yesterday momentarily, but Ferrar has done very well under the no encouragement rules. And it, obviously, you know, riders that can get a horse to respond with, you know, with knees and legs and hands and, you know, body movement, they're gonna excel. And Informative trailed early and came flying, and I think I ran second, third, fourth, and fifth, which is always second, third, and fourth. Pirate's Punch clearly needed one for Grant Forster coming back and making a seasonal debut, but you know, West Willpower for Kelly Breen and New York Traffic. You know, there were two big name horses, really, I thought, to going into the 2 days at Monmouth. And yesterday, Mandaloon, who, you know, had to work at it. And, you know, it looked okay. Got a 93 buyer. If you heard Florent Giroux afterward and Brad Cox talk afterward, they got a bigger goal in mind with the Haskell. But as I tweeted this morning, the two or three now, I guess we can count. Yeah, I guess we count Sainthood. Sainthood won off the turf, but that is now the 15th horse to run out of the Derby, and the third winner to go with Essential Quality and Sainthood. So three horses have won coming out of Derby, and four horses yet to run back. Highly Motivated, Hidden Stash, Dynamic One, and Soup and Sandwich. And the record is a bunch of seconds, a bunch of thirds. You know, and certainly the Preakness runners and the Belmont runners, that's a big part of it. But you had, you know, horses come back in the Matt Wynn. It's really been a smattering of miscellaneous races. So continue to watch the three-year-olds, and Mandaloon's win yesterday. And Weyburn, Jimmy Jerkins, very patient. And it really looked for a couple of strides late that Weyburn was getting there. And, you know, the discussion that went up was, you know, right away, how much of this, how much of that result is affected by no encouragement, no crop. And you can speculate, you know, one way or another. But it was a interesting weekend. It's one of those weekends as we, you know, kind of fill in the blanks post Triple Crown season. Had a little bit of everything, including yesterday, the Summer Stakes sequence at Laurel at. I keep, you know, it's funny about that. I keep looking toward Laurel when I go look for PPs or results, my inclination is to go look at Laurel, but they're still at Pimlico, and you had those $500,000 stakes. We'll get to those results. Lone Star with a bunch of Texas action yesterday. The Santa Anita Stakes. How about the Chosen Vron? What a cool story this is. And look forward to Eric Kruljack. And this is a nice horse. And he continues to rack up, you know, nice wins. Wins the Affirmed yesterday. It's funny. This was one of those rare Sundays that in a lot of ways was really the focus of the weekend. But the Chosen Vron with Umberto Rispoli just went off second choice, a little over 3-2. And the Gelding won the Las Barrera, won the Echo Eddie against Cousins, against Calbreds, was third in the San Vicente, and broke his maiden at First Asking. So 4 for 5 with 2 graded stake wins. And, of course, his sire just passed, 2 weeks ago. This is a nice horse. I haven't seen a fig, but, you know, he worked his way into the 90s in April and May. And, you know, here's a three-year-old that, you know, has got now 2 open company graded stake wins, right? Very nice. And we have not talked to Eric Kruljack. I tried to reach Eric, actually, a couple of times to talk about it. So I'm going to try again. Woodbine's opening, obviously, a big part of the weekend. We're so looking forward to it, and we're going to look forward to following along to their season. No stakes action yet, of course, but the racing, they're actually, you had some surprises and some nice numbers. You know, the races that were part of the cross country, that Linda Loves Lace in that maiden group with Steve Vaughn for John Staples. That was a tough one. The sequence was tough. And for those that did hit, you came within, you know, a jump, really, of that. I mean, as well as it paid for 4 out of 5, confident, just short the Atfield exacta in that second Woodbine race. Spitestown Sherrill breaking the maiden. But it was nice to get the Woodbine feed woven in to the weekend, without a doubt. At Churchill, got a bunch of Churchill, actually, and we'll talk to Brendan Walsh. Perfect scenario, frankly, with Brendan having upset the mint julep. And if you stayed up and were tuned in, how perfect was it? Of course, the race went off after 10 in the mint julep. Minted. I mean, it's one of those. Of course, minted won the mint julep. 12-1, over 12-1, paid $27.20. Ricardo Santana Jr., who, if I'm going to look this up now that I'm mentioning it. It seems to me, this is anecdotal, and it's just, from watching a bunch of races, but do you sense that Santana is getting more wins on a turf than he used to? Used to, think of him, largely on the main track. But it just seems to me that lately I've seen him winning a lot more turf races. Might be completely a misread, but I'm just curious. I'm gonna dig that up, or if somebody wants to do the work for me while I'm on the air. This is Peter Bradley and partners, including Matticat and Team Hanley and the Cambrons. Julia Foxtrot, ran okay, but here came Santana and minted late. And just goes by, gets by. So Julia Foxtrot, it's funny because everybody understood that Julia Foxtrot was going to be a short price, and let's try to beat her. And I don't think people found minted too widely. Some of the other alternatives ran okay. She's on the Warpath was 13-2. Hendy Woods was 4-1. Lashara, who was getting some steam, didn't really run, kind of chased and faded. So if you found minted, good work. 27-20. And Brendan, when we talked to him, one of the reasons I wanted to reach out to Brendan is that tomorrow, Extravagant Kid, early on, the King Stand, which I think is the third race tomorrow at Royal Ascot. We've got two Royal Ascot conversations at least this morning, really three if you count Brendan's visit. But Nick Luck will join us 10:30 Eastern. We'll get Nick's full preview, because once things commence tomorrow, we will the next time you hear from Nick, it'll be to recap next week. But the long shot lad, we'll have Kev Humphries, the great long shot lad. Kev will join us from Singapore, and we'll get his day one and day two ideas for Royal Ascot. And I'll also have, at the website, I'll have Dick's suggestions. And, for those, I've gotten a couple of emails, including our friend David, asking about PPs. If your DRF user, DRF has got day one up. And I'm sure later this morning or early this afternoon, day two will go up. And then, they finalize. They get the declarations and so forth. But day one is there for you. And I would really... And I'll send the link out for this. I would recommend the At the Races, the UK, the real At the Races. They've got a fabulous, fabulous, comprehensive Ascot-centric, Ascot-dedicated. You can't even call it a microsite, because it's not a microsite. It's just a complete Ascot coverage website. Ascot.attheraces.com, and you've got the entire, all 5 days laid out. In terms of the schedule, but then when you go to each race, you've got You've got coverage like you will not believe. I mean, just from the odds side and from prospects and the angles for each race historically. One of the things I'm curious about, speaking of which, I'm curious to ask Nick, because of these new races that have been added, I mean, there's not going to be a, you know, a litany of, you know, years and years of like a stats guide, as they call it. And, you know, the form that, you know, one of the things about Royal Ascot that is very distinct is the path to the various standards, the path that horsemen take. And, you know, trainers, creatures of habit, and that granted, you know, last year a little cockeyed, so some of the lead up and some of the, you know, some of the paths that some of these horses may have taken will be a little different. But I mean, they, you know, there's plenty of horses that participated last year at Royal Ascot that, you know, the 2 year olds then moving forward, that kind of thing. And of course, plenty of 2 year old action, plenty of Wesley Ward action. We've got Wesley tomorrow in the Coventry and in the King Stand. So you can look forward to following the Wesley Ward team for those that are going to latch on. Wesley rarely comes away from Royal Ascot empty-handed. And tomorrow in the Coventry, the first two-year-old race goes as the second, the Group 2. Johnny back aboard Coffee Maker. This is the Jimmy Creed that won going away at Keeneland. And Coffee Maker, one of the choices. There's a couple of obvious players that will vie for attention in there. And then in the third, in the King Stand, where Extravagant Kid is 10-1 and gets the services of Frankie Dettori. Johnny aboard for Wesley here, too. This is that American Pharoah gelding that Wesley bred for Richie Raven, Richie's party girl, remember? And Maven, 12-1 in the King Stand, coming off of a very nice tightener at Keeneland, where you know, he won wire to wire, beat Boldore and six others. So, of course, in that King Stand, Brendan, Mr. Ross's Extravagant Kid, and everybody facing off against one of the great, great turf sprinters in the world, Batash. Last seen at York, winning the Nunthorpe. So, Batash is on a nice three-race win streak if you go back to last year's King Stand. He also won the Qatar, the King George Qatar Stakes at Goodwood in the summer, and then the Nunthorpe to end the year, and that was his season. And that's, you know, he's 7 years old now, and that's more or less what he's, you know, his campaigns of, you know, 3, 4, 5 races. He is terrific. So Batash makes a 7-year-old debut. We'll go through everything. Looking forward to it. And of course, everybody looking forward as well, in addition to Nick's setting the stage for Royal Ascot. We'll see if Kev can't find us a nice, you know, 63-1 shot along the way. He's good. He's awfully good for that. So really, a nice weekend, and Royal Ascot Week has become, you know, really kind of our, it's kind of a, the last hurrah before the summer and our first half break. Yeah, we'll be off July 4th week, and I think we'll Case, you and I haven't discussed this, but we'll probably, I don't know, we'll come back on the 5th or 6th, I guess, right? This was the first weekend off, actually, that we had collectively. Next week, we got Father's Day and my dad's 92nd birthday, so we'll be down in Connecticut. And then the next week, I'm absolutely gonna be admonished by Sean Clancy because we cannot go to Nashville. I maybe word is filtered to him. Tina's our friends, the Villafortes. She's got her baby shower on Saturday the 26th. So no Iroquois for us this year. And then July 4th. And it's funny, we're going up to Lake Placid. And it's the same weekend as the first of the two back-to-back horse shows. There's the New York, there's the Lake Placid show. And then the week later, next week after it, they follow with the I Love New York show. And so we'll probably, probably watch some show jumping and so forth. But just nice to be up at. We usually go to Lake Placid in the winter, not so much in the summer. We went, speaking of lakes, a quick weekend recap. I don't even know what inspired this. Tina and I, you saw that on Saturday as I was watching racing, I was also gearing up to purge the office, the two offices that adjacent. And so that meant unearthing all kinds of stuff, treasures. my Vernon Downs, did you see the first press pass really I ever had? Certainly my first racing related press pass, and it was for Vernon Downs. 1981 season press pass. It's really nice. It's actually a nice hard card, and it's very cool. So I showed everybody. I said, "See, this is why I'm a pack rat. Why I'm a hoarder. How do you throw this away?" And overwhelmingly, thank you to everybody that responded and said, "You don't throw that away. You can't." So that included quite a few media types. Yeah, I can't throw that away. So, but Tina will be very proud of me. I threw away quite a bit, but it is not easy. You have no idea. Then there's business files. I mean, literally a file cabinet of my food business stuff. That, I mean, a lot of it is dated, so I got rid of quite a bit. But I mean, I got stuff I found. Found my college transcript that highlights my incredibly mediocre collegiate career at Colgate. Yeah. There's some funny. There's actually some very funny things in there. Should I put that up? I people might get a kick out of it. I'd forgotten just how dreadful. You know what surprised me is that I did much better in like economic stuff than I recall. Intro to economics as a freshman in the fall, I got a B. And intermediate income analysis, I got a B. I don't know. I should have probably stayed in that realm. I was a history major with a lot of fine arts. And there's some real. Some very embarrassing grades in here. Lots of C's and C minuses, and I got a C plus in mega geology, which was literally a course that every player, that every hockey, football, and every player, we all took. Everybody took mega geology, and somehow I could only manage a C plus in there. It's pretty funny. I actually took two very tough courses. I took a third year level history course, American Foreign Relations, as a freshman. I don't know what I was thinking. Unbelievable. Luckily, all the fine art stuff, architecture, and all my art performance raised my GPA. But not good. I graduated with a exceedingly disappointing 2.17. Yeah, not good. Ugh, Latin America, 1300 to 1820. That was a huge mistake taking that. Seeing there. Yeah, I botched that up. Not good. Yeah, I did not enjoy that either. I learned, but I don't know. Anyway, I'm sorry. This was part of my weekend. Anyway, we went yesterday. The team and I had done so much work. We got the baby. We got baby kins coming on Wednesday night, and they'll be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then they'll head back Sunday morning when we head to Connecticut. My dad and. So Tina and I, you know, we'd been cleaning all Saturday and Sunday. And so, I don't know, 11 o'clock, Tina said, you know, let's go take a ride. Next thing we know, we ended up at Lake George. And I'm going to tell you, we've already established, right, that it's going to be a big Saratoga. We know that. Everybody's pent up excitement. I'm going to tell you, Lake George, for mid-June, it was jumping. And I mean, the boating activity, it was a gorgeous day. That's a proviso, I guess. It was glorious. I mean, a really, really nice afternoon at Lake George. And we stopped at the outlets and we got some baby clothes for baby and the baby. And then we stopped at Martha's. I got for ice cream. But One thing I will push for you, for those of you that go to Lake George, I said to Tina, I'm a little hungry, and she said, me too, and we were going to eat at Martha's, and then she said, I really would like a taco. So I start looking around, and there's a new taco, a little Mexican place, brand new, month old, in Lake George, right on Canada Street, called Taqueria Paloma. And a group of young guys and gals that opened it, and it's beautiful, clean, fresh, bright. Taqueria Paloma. I will give it. I will Yelp review it. I will give them high. I had chicken. Tina had beef. They had nice selection of jarritos, which I appreciate, and they had the guava jarritos, which. High marks for for guava jarritos, which you can't find everywhere. And Tina was disappointed. They don't have a liquor license, so FYI. Now, I don't know if they're getting one or not, but anyway, Taqueria Paloma. That's this way. After last week, was that Villa Negrelli and in Hopewell Junction, and now we're giving you Taqueria Paloma. We're going to get Brendan Walsh in here and talk to Brent about Extravagant Kid and also about not just Minted winning the Mint Julep, but Brendan had a big weekend. I think he won every time I looked up Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. He was winning races. I think he won races each day this weekend. So we'll start with Brendan, and let's see what else. I told you we got Rich Migliori. The Migliori's had a little bit of a farm incident. If you didn't see this, they lost one of their laying hens, fox, the proverbial fox in the hen house. Yeah. So I think Rich has got to let us know the details. So we've got Brendan Walsh, Rich Migliori, Nick Luck. I'm expecting to talk to Uriah St. Louis. And the long shot lad, Kev Humphreys, and more. All right? That's the agenda. So we'll start. All right, let me give that to Kay. Okay, eyes are still bothering. Yeah, it's unbelievable. This is now moving into a second week. You know, after Case had that the concussion, it's not easy. Not easy for me to pull this off. 75%. All right, so there you go. All right, 75. Case says he's 75%. So he's getting there. You're doing better than me because I can't. I'm having trouble getting to. There we go to Brendan. All right, so this is the proverbial on-the-fly production. and in addition, I kidded last week about Casey moving. He bought a new house, and congratulations and years of happiness in the new house. I quipped that he might have had the car accident so that he could then, get people to make the move for him, bring everything. That's not what he did. That's not what happened. All right, we'll take. We'll wait here. All right. Case appreciates my sick sense of humor. Brendan Walsh will join us, and I do want to ask about. He had that 3-year-old, the Ridgeling, Candy Ride Ridgeling, of Godolphin's business model. Also, that was yesterday, and I think he had one other too. I think, he had an allowance winner yesterday too. GGB for George Coleman. Street Sense Philly. Yeah, Brendan. He's not going to be happy to see the Churchill season end because he's been tearing it up. He also a Blue Cat too. He won with Blue Cat earlier on the card. A 50,000 claimer and got to take it home. Calumet. This was a big blue kitten gelding. And there were a couple of horses claimed, but not Blue Cat. That's not always a pretty good feeling when you can run one for 50 and you bring it home. Just try him again, Casey. Yeah, he said any time between 9:20 and 9:40 was going to work. All right. While Case raises Brendan, I'll let's see. Let me give you. How about here? Let's go to. Let's go to Pimlico yesterday and run down that lineup and. As we said the other day, here's another stake win. Blame Debbie, who we've talked about with Graham Motion and or Aaron Wellman, won the searching yesterday, the first of the five stakes. Victor Carrasco aboard. Eclipse and Partners. This was one that Tim Thornton co-bred, and he's still in on it. The wire-to-wire job, second choice, actually. So... Eclipse. Nobody's got more fillies, nice fillies than Eclipse. How about Rodney Jenkins, who does such a great job, and for Mrs. Charles, this is a Pennsylvania bred valued notion. 4-year-old wins the Ben's Cat. 4-year-old gelding bred by the Longs, Stephen and Jane. Always pleased for Ellen Charles, first lady of Maryland Racing. Xavier Perez aboard. Pixelate, nice job picking out spots. Another Godolphin win. Mike Stidham, of course. The 4-year-old Joe Bravo down at Pimlico for the City Zip. Adding to his resume. Chubb Wagon. And you know what? We should call Lupe Preciado. This really is a nice story, and Chubb Wagon just keeps winning. If you didn't see it either, she had to work for it. It's an amazing story. You had good old Street Loot. Jerry Robb, Street Loot, a winner as well, won the Stormy Blues. And there was your Summer Stakes action. It was the shine again, by the way, for Chubb Wagon. And you had the next round of the Match Series as part of this. Nice participation, too. Still looking. No? Still no... Okay, keep trying, Brendan. All right, we'll get him. Since we're waiting then, we will... let me fill in, too. Do I have the... I think I've got the Lone Star. Yeah, the Lone Star stuff yesterday as well. Lone Star with those stakes that I mentioned. And a nice mix, actually. I think a couple wins by Mr. Farish. But Sunlit Song, Texas Horse Racing Hall of Fame. Mindy Willis for this Golden Song 6-year-old. You had first-time starter. You had the 2-year-old action. And Tengo Mis Papeles, Brett Calhoun for Hersh and Sanders. My Golden Song colt. Born, a winner of the Danny Shiflett, the scholarship stake. And this is for Deodoro, FedBiz Philly, owners... DeLuca and Sons, Eagle Express, Stewie Elliott took over fairly early, wins the Panzeretta for, there's Mr. Farish and Steve Asmussen. This is an Eagle, 2-year-old, and finally Direct Dial, also Farish and Asmussen, and the Too Much Bling, 6-year-old, wins the Wayne Hanks. So there you go. We filled in the blanks, and I hear in the background Brendan Walsh, who seemed to win with almost everything he sent out over the weekend, including minted in the mint julep. So hunch players undoubtedly cashed. Brendan, congratulations.
Thanks, Steve. Thank you.
You know, 12-1. This was a slight surprise. And, of course, you know, you had the 1-2 favorite. But talk about this Olympic glory daughter.
Yeah, she was a big price. I mean, you know, on the face of it, Steve, it was hard to see her beating Juliet Foxtrot. She's already a grade one winner. So, you know, but the filly, we gave her a little time off last year, and she's come back this year really well. She ran a really nice race, Oaks Day off the layoff, to win a tough two other than at Churchill. And she's been doing really well since. She put in a really nice piece of work last Sunday on the turf at Churchill, and you know, she followed through with it on Saturday night. Ricardo rode her beautifully, and it all worked out. So yeah, it was fantastic.
This, you know, don't have really a lot we know about this one, and I don't remember you and I kind of ever including her in a conversation, have we?
Maybe not, because she's been very spotty, Steve, her form-wise. You know, she's kind of, we've had to give her a lot of time off, you know. So, you know, we've never really, I think we've only, you know, touched on her a little bit. But, you know, finally she started to come together, and she seems like she's doing well, so she could be a nice filly as time goes on. She seems to have sounded up really well, so hopefully now we can get a nice run of races into her, and who knows what she might do along the way.
And I'm just looking at back, and of course came out of really lower level. It seems, right? Lower level racing. Is this a horse that Peter found in Europe? What's the backstory?
Yeah, I think Peter bought her out. It's actually a friend of mine used to train her in Ireland, Willie McCreary, but Pete bought her and brought her here. You know, she had won in Ireland. I think she won at Killarney. But, you know, if they've got a turn of foot coming from Europe, they tend to fit pretty good over here, so thankfully she did. So you know, she's worked out well.
And she, it's interesting because she missed all of 2019, it looks like, too. She's a five-year-old mare by Olympic Glory, debuted, you know, early, seemingly, you know, early enough as a two-year-old, and then disappeared, really, for almost 2 years.
Yeah, she has had a bit of a spotty career, all right, Steve. You know, she was in New York for a while as well, and I believe they were trying to run her at Saratoga one day. She got loose going to the start and did a bit of a job on herself and a few other bits and pieces like that. So, you know, she has been tricky, but she's come round, you know, mentally and physically now. So, like I said, hopefully from here on in, she could be a really nice filly going forward.
It seems like it, and, you know, busts through from a figure standpoint, too. Jumps up to a 92 buyer. She's lightly raced, 9 starts so far, so low mileage on the tires. And you took your time with her, and, you know, it's kind of funny. Even being conservative with her, you ran into nice horses along the way. That, looking back, I'm going to pull this up, at that allowance at Churchill last June, Catch a Bid wins it. Temple City Terror was second, who's gone on to be a stake winner. Mighty Scarlet was third. So she was running into the same thing at Ellis. I mean, she ran right back into the likes of Mitchell Road and Strike My Fancy. So she was even facing, you know, toughies, you know, in what seemed like lesser races.
Yeah, no, absolutely. She hasn't had an easy career so far. So she's
nice.
She's well seasoned and well versed at this stage. You know. So, but no, it's great. It's great. It's always nice. You know, it's nice to when you can give one a little time along the way and give them a chance. And you know, these people were good enough to be able to do that, and they're getting paid for it now.
Well, we've had Peter, of course, and widely respected the way he approaches the bloodstock trade, and he likes to have some, you know, out running, not just you know, ones that get cultivated and turned around. This actually was the first foal out of this Raven's Pass mare, Lisa Knorr, and there's two more. There's a Master Craftsman and a Zoffany in behind, and this one herself only made 2 starts. The dam really not boy. It's an inconsequential female family, at least early on. So this is a big jump, and frankly, for Peter, this is huge to get a graded stake win on a mare like this.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's always good to get the graded stake, and you know, it's great. No, it's worked out great. So it's remarkable, really.
Well, looks like plenty more to look forward to from Minted, and we'll watch and see. You know what? I mean, is she a mare you take? You know, here to you bring her to Saratoga?
Possibly. Yeah, we'll have a look. We haven't really, you know, we haven't really come up with a solid plan yet, Steve. But she would be one for sure. You would think about bringing her to Saratoga or somewhere like that along the way, you know. But it's great, you know, because she is lightly raced even up to now. So, you know, hopefully she's still got her best days ahead of her.
Well, we talked after I mentioned Temple City Terror, who, you know, is yours, and we talked after that win in the Kirtana, but there's been a couple of other performances, including the wins from this weekend that I'll get to in a minute, but, you know, you sent La Signore out to California for the Gamely, and second there. Last week in New York, I saw you minutes after, actually, the race, you talked about the soft going. Give us an update on some of the established stakes horses in the barn.
La Signere is just back. We're going to get her back at the Rock Tab this week. you know, we're still a little undecided on where she's going to go next. So, Fel, we send her out for just for a couple of weeks, just to freshen her up a little bit, you know, just to reset her a little, but not for very long. There's nothing wrong with her. We just want to give her a little brief freshening. We did that with her last year, and we've done it with a bunch of fillies, and it seems to work out good. So, you know, she'll be back before too long. Hopefully they'll come back. You know, they've been running really well so far up to now, so hopefully they can keep going for the rest of the year.
Nice. And since we're talking horses that have just run or are still in the aftermath of recent performances, you know, Maxfield, we get an update as well, looking toward the Foster.
Yeah, he's doing great, Steve. He worked really well on Friday and came out of the work great. So, you know, it's all systems go with him for the 24th, I believe it is, two weeks' time. So, yeah, we're really looking forward to that. He's in great shape. So, you know, obviously we're always excited about Max.
Let me ask you, too, and I always seem to follow up, too, prevalence out of the Pat Day, but continues to not, to, I don't see a work for him since.
No, we actually stopped on him, Steve. He didn't come back great off of his last race. Nothing terrible. But we're going to have to give him a little bit of time off. He had a touch of bone bruising in that. And so he's probably going to be, you know, off the track or at least out of training for probably 60 days. But it's minor, so, you know, I think it's nice we can give him the time off. We really had no other choice but to let him reset himself as well. And he should come back as a very nice horse when he's right again.
Well, that gets us to some of the winners from over the weekend, and a couple of maiden breakers, some that took longer to break their maiden than others, but looks like there's still plenty of upside with Business Model, who gets a graduation in the fourth start.
Yeah, Steve, I loved that horse last year. He was one of our first two-year-old runners, and he ran okay. And then he went wrong on us towards the fall, and we gave him a bunch of time off. And he came back great. He'd been working really well coming back into this race. And I was not surprised at all yesterday by his race. Like I said, I really liked the horse last year. He's done really well. He's grown into a nice horse. And I think we'll hear a lot more good things from him as the year goes on too.
Business Model is who we're talking about. This is a Candy Ride, Ridgeling, actually, that is a Godolphin homebred out of the Bernardini mare. Innovative Idea. And any of his issues related to the Ridgeling, that can sometimes be a problem.
No, not at all. He's always cool. Said that, but no, that's not been his issue at all. He could be a nice horse now. You know, I liked the run yesterday off the layoff, so there'd be plenty of improvement to come from him as well.
Nice, because that was the first start of the year, and let me just check that. Was that the Nightcap? I think it was the Nightcap, right?
It was, yeah.
And let's look for the magic number, 89 buyer, if you had not received the figure.
All right. Pretty decent.
Not so bad. It's a nice jumping off point for the year. I also, I while we were waiting for you, I mentioned that you had that Blue Cat win, and you got to take that one home. You've been dangling Blue Cat, and there's no takers, and now suddenly has won two straight.
Yeah, no, he's you know, he ran well yesterday, Steve. He was in the race. The same race was run the Friday of Belmont weekend, and it got abandoned halfway down the back straight. There was a fall coming out of the gate, and the race got pulled up. So he was in there, which was a nice schooling session for him. And you know, we got to come back yesterday. They rode the race back, and we got to come back yesterday and run it. And it was great. Now, he actually ran a really nice race. James gave him a fantastic ride because I thought he was beat at the coming around the home turn. I thought he was beat, but he managed to get a good effort for him to finish up, and he won. So it was nice to win with him. Nice for Calumet too, you know. Always nice to win for them people.
Well, and you've also had the little different story. It feels like that's a horse, you know, that's about a 50. It seems to be in the right realm between the maiden claiming win and then winning for 50. But GGB, the Street Sense filly, for George Coleman, this feels like maybe a progressive horse that you know, broke through against maiden claimers and then comes right back and wins an allowance.
Yeah. She's a nice filly, Steve. She's had her excuses. We've always thought a lot of her. She's a big filly. I think she's going to get better as time goes on. You know, and I think she just had to develop a little more physically. She ran in Gulfstream first time out of the one hole, showed some speed and got tired, came back at Keeneland, pulled a shoe coming out of the gate, and maybe didn't run as well as we thought she might have, but she had an excuse. We took a shot and ran her for the 50, and she won. And well, I actually was trying to run her in a starter last week, and the starter didn't fill, so we took a shot and went back in the allowance, and she run well. But I think she's a filly that could progress into a nice filly now as time goes along. She's obviously gotten some confidence from the couple of wins, and you know, she's another one that should move forward from there.
Well, I just quickly added it up since last weekend. You've won with 7 of your last 16 starters.
That's just sometimes you get lucky, Steve, you know.
Well, let's talk about tomorrow and getting lucky again with the wonderful, remarkable, extravagant kid, the King Stand. Talk about, you know, he's been there, what, 2.5 weeks and more even, and since we talked last. You know, you're obviously facing the likes of Batash and more, but what are your thoughts going into tomorrow?
He's done really well over there, Steve. You know, the boys have had nothing but positive remarks on the horse. He, you know, he's done awfully well, kind of similar to what he did when he went to Dubai. Just kind of, you know, he tends to like that travel, and you know, everything's went well. So I think he's sitting on a very good run. The ground's going to be quick, which should suit him. He's well drawn by the looks of it. We've got, you know, Mr. Ascot riding him, Frankie the Tory. So, you know, we've checked all the boxes with him. So it's a question of hopefully getting a good trip. And I think if he does, then who knows what he might do. But we're really looking forward to it, Steve, as you can imagine. So we'll be tuned in tomorrow for it for sure.
Where is everybody? You guys going to watch as a barn together somewhere?
Well, I'm going to Keeneland tomorrow, so I guess we'll watch it over there. It's at a good time. It's at 10:40, so we'll be done training and all. So it's good. We'll be able to watch it. So we'll see how it goes. But it's exciting. I'm a little disappointed that I'm not there now. That
sure.
Getting close, but you know, just with the quarantine restrictions and that over there, has made it literally impossible to go. So unfortunately we're not going to be there, but he tends to run well actually when I'm not there, so at this stage I'm as good as barred from watching him live anyway. So but we'll look forward to it. Yeah, like I said, everything looks good, so we're looking forward to hopefully if he could run as well as he ran in Dubai, I'm sure that wouldn't put him too far away.
No, not at all. And I'm just looking to see that who was the closest that's participating. I guess it's the Nigel Tinkler, Acklam Express.
The third horse, yeah.
Yeah, in Dubai, was third, yeah. Right? was no. He's actually, let's see. Wait, yeah, he was third at in the Alquaz.
In Dubai, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, this is probably a little tougher. You know, obviously, Batash is in there, but he's coming back off the layoff. So sometimes you never know what way them horses are going to come back. But he is a very good horse. I'm sure if he comes with his A race, then he's going to be very tough. But it's a turf sprint, and as everybody knows, you know, everything's got to go perfect in them turf sprints for all the horses. So, you know, it can work for and against you. So we'll take our shot and hope for the best.
Well, the for those that want to get involved tomorrow, as Brendan mentioned, 10:40, third race of the morning at Royal Ascot, and three Group 1s, including the King's Stand. And I suppose I should ask, is there the potential for him to turn around and run in the Jubilee?
No, we took him out of it, Steve.
Okay.
We didn't really like the idea of running him twice after traveling all the way over there. But I think if he does run well, then we'd give strong consideration to possibly leaving him there for the July Cup at Newmarket. It's about a month later, actually. That's an easier 6 furlongs, too, than the one in Ascot. I think the 6 at Ascot is a very stiff 6 furlong. So if anything at all, if he runs well tomorrow, we might consider maybe leaving him there for the July Cup.
Excellent. All right. Well, then back home, let me ask you about Thursday as well, with the maidens that are entered at Churchill, and Colin, Diana, and Town Place.
Yeah, we like both of them, Steve. Town Place ran already and ran well, looked at the head of the straight, like she had a shot to win the last day, and came home, got a little tired, which she was entitled to do, but ran a really nice race. So I think if she had a run the last time, she would have been very close. So I think she'll run well. And Colleen Diana is, she's been showing us some talent at home too, so we're expecting a good run from her too.
Nice. And then actually later on the card, you got an allowance try, Born Great back. And yeah, by the way, I see Tyler Gaffleone is listed. And for those that either didn't see it or only got bits and pieces, Tyler fell in the chute. And so nobody was really sure what happened. But apparently he's okay.
Yeah, no, he is. I checked on him last night, Steve, and he said he was okay, that he
good.
Expects to be back riding on Thursday. So that's great, because we were concerned there for a while. You know, it took him a while to get back on his feet and that, and it looked like a nasty fall. But
yeah,
these guys are he's a tough kid, so I'm sure he'll be back as soon as he physically can be.
Nice. When it comes to this Scat Daddy gelding, 5-year-old for Mark DeTample and Galvin Fergus, hasn't been seen actually since the Kenner at Fairgrounds.
Yeah, no, we just freshened him up. He obviously last year he won twice at Kentucky Downs last year in a week. Then we took a big shot at the Maker's Mark Mile, which didn't work out. But he ran decent at the Fairgrounds. He seems like he's doing really well now again. So it looks a good spot for him on Thursday. So I would expect him to be right there on Thursday as well.
Well, coming off of what's been an extended quality run, and seven, as I mentioned, 7 wins in the last give or take 10 days, and I'm sure you'd like to go 8 for 16 if we fold in tomorrow's starter.
Yeah, no, that would be something now, Steve, to if we could pull it off out there, you know. It really would. I mean, that would be one of the big ones, you know, if you could do something like that. But I'm trying not to get too excited and to worry about it too much. We'll see what happens. Like I said, he's doing great over there, and that's all we can ask for. So hopefully we get a clean trip and let the cards fall into place after that.
Well, rooting for you and for Mr. Ross and Extravagant Kid, Frankie Dettori, the third tomorrow. You'll hear it here, the King's Stand, and 5/8 for the Alquaz champ. Brendan, get lucky tomorrow, and we might be talking hopefully Wednesday.
Yeah, please God. Yeah, that would be nice.
I love it. The Extravagant Kid, back, big opportunity. And boy, that would be tremendous. Now, how about that for a double to win World Cup night and then come back and win at Royal Ascot. But everything going beautifully for Brendan Walsh's barn. You can follow Brendan on Twitter, Bren P. Walsh, and everybody rooting for, well, I think most domestically are rooting for Brendan. We're going to stay right here. We'll go to the bottom of the hour. Rich Migliori is going to join us. We'll catch up with Mig and Brendan, of course. That'll be fun. I got to send. I shall have to send Mr. Ross. I'm sure he's disappointed about not being able to go as well, because he went to Dubai and spent had an extended. I think he was there almost 3 weeks. We talked to him, in fact, from Dubai. So nice to. As much fun as Royal Ascot is anyway, I think it's really enhanced when we get, when we get the North American interests involved. I mean, I'm not somebody necessarily that, says, rush your horse over there. But for a horse like this, it absolutely makes sense. And for the Wesley Ward program, it's really become a major part of his whole operation is pointing for this. So best of luck. Hope he performs well. All right. We're looking for Richie and Casey's having trouble reaching Rich. All right. Unless he put his phone down. I talked to him last night. We texted back and forth. It's a little problematic because Nick is joining us at the bottom of the hour, no matter what. We'll see. Well, you know what then, Case? Then let's do this. Take the break here, because otherwise I'll have to take the break at the bottom. So let's do that. We'll take the break here, and we'll come back, and we'll find Richie, and we'll also look forward to Nick and much, much more. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at pabred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Porchbills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Sirius XM Sports presents...